12-Sided Stories is for mature audiences and often deals with topics that may be difficult for some listeners. Discretion is advised. In the city of dreams, everyone wants to be a star, but at what cost? 12-Sided Stories presents Otherworld Hollywood.
Hello, and welcome to Otherworld Hollywood, episode number 20. My name is Wes Otis. I am your keeper for this Call of Cthulhu actual play. We're very excited to have you here. Let's meet our wonderful players. Let us start with Lev.
Hey, I'm Lev. I use they, them pronouns, and today I will be playing Roberta Rabicerius, they, she.
Hey, y'all. I am Mac, and today I am playing Lenore Von Mori, a.k.a. Cass Richardson, a.k.a. simply The Vamp.
Hello, everyone. My name is Candace, also known as Candace the Magnificent. My pronouns are they, she, and today I will be playing Ebony Belafonte, she, her.
Hey, I'm Michelle Otis, and I am playing Belle Bellington, and yeah, that's all you need to know.
Hello. My name's Sam Star. I use she, they, and the occasional fae pronouns. And today I am playing Imani DeVoe, who uses she, her.
Enjoying the show? Then take a moment to join our Patreon. Support the podcast and get early access to episodes and bonus content. Head to 12-Sided Stories Patreon today.
All right. This is a great place for a recap. Last time, Mac and I had a solo adventure where we kind of figured out the backstory of Cass and Henri and how they kind of met each other and their friendship and all that good stuff. The week before that, we had the episode where you all dealt with Penelope turning into a werewolf, then freaking out when she realized what she was about to do. She got in a tussle with Lenore, with Cass, and then Robbie and I believe Evie talked her off the ledge, basically, and got her to stop attacking. You guys then all started to do research on war and everything going on. Evie went into the restroom and then had a conversation with Hathor, which turned into a walk into some kind of dreamlike world. When the rest of you went to go check on Evie, they were gone. She was not there anymore. You didn't know what was going on, and that's where we had left off with that group. Meanwhile, Evie appeared in her own house and didn't know how she had gotten there. Basically, her butler came out and said, look, you've got some really important people here wanting to meet with you. Priestess Elizabeth is waiting for you in the parlor. When Evie went in and sat down, suddenly she was being told by the priestess that they wanted to make her a full member, and she felt two hands on her shoulders and looked up, and Sekhmet was there and said, hello, how is my sister? And that is where we stopped that particular episode.
It's all fun and games till Sekhmet shows up.
So that is where we're at right now. We have two different groups, one group and one person in two different places. We're going to start with Kasimani, Robbie, and Belle, and we'll go from there. Evie's missing. She is not in the restroom, and there is no way that she could have gotten out without you hearing the door open. There's no window to the outside world. What do you think the group, what would the four of you like to do?
Robbie is going up to the mirror or like pushing on like bits of the wall, trying to find like a secret hatch or like a secret tunnel or something like that, because there was a werewolf in this house. Why wouldn't there be a secret tunnel?
That's fair. So you go up to the glass, and when you touch it, the glass doesn't change at all. But the feeling of the glass is off. It's weird. It's not like the normal smooth coolness of glass. It's more of a soft feeling, almost like very soft foam-like feeling to it. And it's really warm. not hot, but just very warm to the touch. But there's no steam in the room or anything like that. There's no wetness to it. It's like a foam feel.
I have a clarifying question about foam.
Okay. Not the spray-on foam. Foam that you would get in like a couch or something.
Like a foam that you would put like on a mattress topper kind of thing.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'm just kind of trying to push my fingers into it and see if it yields at all.
Okay. So for those of you watching Robbie do this as they push in to the mirror, you see that the mirror starts to crack out like normal glass. And Robbie's hand goes completely through the mirror. It breaks apart. The shards just are kind of floating there within the frame of the mirror. And beyond the mirror is this howling sound of wind through a tunnel or through a valley. Can you all give me a resolve check?
I'm assuming Robbie too.
Yeah, definitely Robbie.
I made my roll.
Okay, cool.
I made my roll.
I also made my roll.
Awesome. Okay. So at this point, this is like old hat. You're like, ah, oh, this is normal shit.
I lunge for Robbie's arm to pull it back.
Okay. So give me a dex check.
Oh, it had to be dex, didn't it? 48 over my 40. 48 over my 40.
All right. So you lunge forward. You grab onto them, to their torso, but you're not steady on your feet. You're kind of askew, I guess, or just not really balanced well. What would Robbie's reaction to suddenly crushing through this mirror and then getting grabbed?
I think Robbie's been on pretty high alert because, again, werewolf and weird shit going on constantly. So I think it's not even like a question of like, who is this? What's going on? I think it's a question of get the hell off me and I'll see who it is later. So I think it's a lot of like, twist writhing, maybe throwing an elbow, not knowing that it's Belle throwing an elbow.
So you pull your arm back out, right?
No, I'm leaving this arm in.
Okay.
Because I want to know what that wind sound is.
So Belle, do you let go or are you going to try to get your footing?
I don't know. I don't know if I would have fallen or if I'm just kind of stumbling.
You're stumbling around and basically you don't have a really good hold on them right now.
Okay. I guess I would just say, pull back. We don't know what's in there.
Well, that's where Evie is.
We don't know that.
Where else would she have gone? There's nowhere else to get out of here. I don't feel good about leaving one of us alone.
I don't feel great about going through a mirror, so...
Especially when it's doing all that weird stuff.
Well, what else are we supposed to do? We can't...
We have to be smart about this, Robbie. We can't save Evie if we're just running off willy-nilly. You have to have a plan.
Exactly.
Fine. And Robbie will pull their hand out and just try to, like, get up on tiptoes to kind of see through. Pulling back, but trying to get a glimpse.
Okay. You start pulling your hand out, and you hear the sound and feel your bones crack as the force of the void that you've thrust your hand in starts to pull back as you are resisting it. You feel something grab onto your wrist, wrapping around. It feels like suction cups. And then this pulsing feel, like a heartbeat, as you're pulling your hand out. And a face appears at the mirror that you all can see that's this large, bluish-green octopus face with a human nose and a weird jaw that kind of comes up and all of these sharp teeth that start to pull Robbie into the mirror. So I need another resolve check first, and then we'll figure out what everyone's going to do.
Oh, I fail that one.
Yeah, that one's going to be bad.
Oh, I failed mine too.
Uh-huh.
I passed my check.
Okay.
I passed mine.
If you passed, you still take a point.
Fair.
Mac, Cass takes 3 points. Lev, you take 9.
Yeah.
How do I know what my, like, I guess this is a question. Is there a...
There's no breaking point in, okay. in Call of Cthulhu.
Great. I have to do some quick math. 52. Excellent.
That's Delta Green thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Now, for the amount that you just took...
There are consequences.
Absolutely. There are consequences, absolutely. Yeah.
No doubt.
Because that's above the fight, flight, fawn, fear thing. Let's see. So, oh, wait, no, it's right at the top of it. 9 points is the max. So roll a six-sided die for me real quick.
4.
All right. You start to freak out and start punching and... Because you got fight.
Yeah, that tracks for Robbie.
You start freaking out and hitting and everything else. Now we're going to stop there and jump over to...
Of course.
Evie, you are in your parlor and you look up and you see Sekhmet. Can I get a resolve check first?
Yes. I got a 42 under 46.
Excellent. So even though you aren't able to contain yourself, like contain any fear you might have, what is Evie feeling right now?
Probably just awe. This woman is just as beautiful as Hathor, but like half lion, which is going to humble even the most ridiculous of person. So I think she's like wolf whistle, eyeballs popping out of the skull, like, but is also like, fuck, please don't bite my face off at the same time.
Okay. And she comes around to the front and gets on her knees and she's whispered in your ear, do you want to be ordinary?
And now it's my acting role because I'm trying to...
Okay, yeah, do your acting role.
Come on. I never get 2 successes in a row. I'm real nervous. A 26.
Oh, nice.
Under 55.
Okay, cool. Act away. How are you going to respond to this?
Evie smiles this very kind of coquettish smile, very closed mouth and mysterious, and closes her eyes just for a moment. And in her head, in the very back of her mind, she pictures Hathor and says, I'm with her, just like kind of beside herself, and then opens her eyes kind of almost seductively, but without trying too hard to press her luck with this goddess, and then very like kind of straightens and squares her shoulders. If it means being with you forever and taking on all your glory, I should say I'm ready to go. Ordinary is for regular people. I'm not a goddess, but I'm certainly not ordinary.
So you have sent out the message in your mind to Hathor. There's a brief moment when Sekhmet kind of comes back, and Sekhmet looks like Hathor. And there's the reality of the room shifts for a moment. Like there's this weird... almost disturbance in every single atom of the room, and Hathor appears near the doorway, and Sekhmet turns around, and she's still on her knees, but her back was to the door and where Hathor is, and Priestess Elizabeth kind of reels around, and Sekhmet looks back towards you, and her face morphs back into the lion, and she goes, treachery, and she lunges for your throat. I need you to make a dex check.
Sheesh. I didn't bring her up.
Go ahead.
Holy shit, that's a 14.
Ooh.
Oh my God.
All right, so she is lunging at you. Tell me how you get out of this situation.
So if I were being silly, I would say a kiss or a boop on the nose, because that usually gets me away from my cat when it's being ridiculous.
I don't think spraying her with a spray bottle is going to work in this case.
Probably not. Psst, psst,
psst. Cat toy.
Cat toy.
I think having just seen a werewolf in the flesh has made Evany a tougher bitch than she ever thought she could be. And I think she just kind of like, the second the lunge happens, she just kind of rips like her legs, knowing that Hathor is coming like from over top of her legs. She just kind of like yanks her legs apart and tears the back seam of her pencil skirt and slides down the chair. So Sekhmet goes like over top to where she thinks that Ebony's gonna be, but Ebony's like on the ground already. Like, nope.
Okay. So you slide down it, and Sekhmet lunges over and slides over you, and you see Hathor running towards Sekhmet. Let's jump back over to the other people. All right. So, Robbie, you are hitting at this thing and you feel this pull. Belle, you're still holding on to Robbie, and you see this face. Amani, You are at the door, kind of seeing the side of this. So let's just kind of go around and see what each person is doing, because we know that Robbie is hitting and trying to get away. Mac, what do you want to do?
I'm going to try and move to grab Robbie and help pull them away.
Okay. I'm going to make you do a dex check as well, just because it's kinetic and chaotic and all that.
Can I help?
Yeah.
I got a 55 under my 60.
Okay, well, never mind.
But if you want to help in general, I mean, you could grab on to their leg or something, or, you know, help with the pull.
That sounds like a good idea. I'll do that.
Okay. Go ahead and do a dex check.
Oh, I failed that.
Okay. So you're kind of half in there. You're, like, not really that balanced well. But you're doing your best. You're trying, and that's what counts. I want to do a strength check now that the three of you are holding on to Robbie and see if you can pull them away from the mirror. Two of you are unbalanced. One of you is imbalanced. So go ahead and give me strength rolls.
Made it.
Made it as well.
I did not.
All right.
I'm not very strong.
As you're pulling, Cass, you stumble back a bit, you kind of let go, and you hit the back of your arm on the wall, and you get a sharp pain straight up into your shoulder that just hurts like a motherfucker, and it makes you really angry, and for a second, you black out. You lose a couple of seconds of time, just pure rage burst in your head when you hit your arm.
Okay.
The other two of you, because now what I want is, Robbie, can you give me a strength check as well? Because you're trying to fight against...
This is a straight up luck roll.
Right.
We can't use luck on combat rolls, right?
No. No, just on skill checks.
Then it's a 52 over 50.
Okay. Actually, this is not a bad thing. It means that you are not strong enough to keep the others from pulling you out of the mirror. Because right now, you're having a fight response. So you're trying to get in the mirror and you're trying to beat up this thing while the others are pulling on you. So you basically don't have enough strength to keep them from saving you from yourself. All right, so you pull Robbie away. Cass is up against the wall, looking a bit dazed. And this creature sticks its head through the window. And its tentacle, where one of its brains is still connected to... Yeah, each tentacle has a brain.
Ew, that's not allowed.
Yeah, that's... Octopuses have brains in all their tentacles.
No, that's... Nature is evil. I love nature, but nature is evil.
It is evil. It is still holding on to your hand, and you feel its thoughts start to come into your brain, and in a weird croaking voice, it just says,
I look forward to seeing all of you very soon.
And then it lets go, and all of the blackness from the mirror, from the dimension beyond, goes away to just reveal a normal medicine cabinet behind a broken mirror.
So, Robbie, have we learned our lesson about sticking our hands through random magical mirrors?
Robbie is screaming. Robbie is just screaming. Robbie doesn't know that they're screaming. Robbie is just screaming.
I think Lenore slides down the wall to sit on her butt.
Okay. Now, Penelope's been outside the... Because it's a bathroom. It's, you know, I mean, it's a large bathroom, but she wasn't in there. She comes to the door and she's like... Because all of this happened over literally seconds. It was very fast. And she's like, what happened? You know, and Robbie is screaming. You look down, Robbie, on your wrist, and you see that there are all of these marks where the suction cups had attached themselves. And in the center of each is a small pinprick. And as your heart beats, there are little blood droplets that kind of pop up and then get sucked back in.
I think that's enough to kind of kick Robbie out of just the fugue state of screaming. And they're going to scramble out of the bathroom away from that mirror to a sink and just scrub their arm raw. Not even really fully aware of excess harm that they might be doing. It's very like, I want this off of me. It's whatever goo was on there. I don't know if there was goo. Single focus from screaming, single focus to get this off me. With no real regard for anything else that's happening at the moment.
So Rabia's run into the kitchen, is cleaning up. Belle, what are you going to do?
I think Belle is still kind of stunned, and she's sitting on the bathroom floor, just kind of looking around at everyone, just taking some deep breaths to collect herself.
Okay. Makes sense. What about you, Imani?
I think Imani is also in a state of shock, but I think she's trying to help and calm down Robbie, or like lower heightened emotions, essentially.
Okay. Can you give me I don't know if you have psychology or not. Does your character have a psychology skill? No?
No, sir.
Persuade?
Yes.
Give me persuade.
Okay. Oh, I failed that.
Okay. So you're trying to talk Robbie down, but they are just keyed up to a point that is beyond. The most you can do is maybe try to keep them from using Ajax on their arm, you know, that kind of thing. Keep that powder away from them. But beyond that, they finally, after maybe 5 minutes, stop scrubbing and just not pass out, but sit down kind of catatonic would be my guess, just from the response of the overstimulus, just fried for a moment. Mac, what are you doing?
I think Cass had kind of sunk to the floor and was just sort of sitting there, and they're sort of just trying to shake it all off. They're going to attempt to go and try and calm Robbie down, because I think they've started to feel a little like Robbie is their duckling kind of thing at this point. Must protect.
Absolutely. So you go up to Robbie, and Robbie's sitting on the kitchen floor, catatonic, with this huge, looks like a really bad rash now, because they went after the, you can't really see, you can see the blood, but there are new skin rips and stuff from the damage that they did trying to clean it all off. And Imani's standing next to them. What do you do?
We should really wrap this up, Robbie, and get this bandaged. I'd say let's go have it looked at by a doctor, but I'm not sure what they could do. This is, I think, a little beyond most of their skill sets.
Wes, did you say something cracked, like broke in their arm, or like was the crack the mirror? I couldn't remember.
Your bones felt like they were all popping at once.
Gross. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm here to be of service.
Absolutely. Well done.
The butler of upsettingness. Eldridge Butler.
Eldridge Butler. They're the worst.
Robbie has just kind of like cradled their arm close and isn't looking anyone in the face, really. They're kind of tracking people mostly by sound, and they'll like turn their head in the direction of the person, but not really making any super connection as they might usually.
Okay.
Penelope, do you have any bandages?
Yeah, let me grab one. And she runs off, and Cass hears the sound of a drop hitting a hardwood floor.
I think you'll probably startle and look around. But if nothing, with everything going on, if there's not immediate danger, I think is still really focused on Robbie.
Okay. Well, you look around, and there's a drop of blood right next to where you're crouched down.
Is it Robbie's blood?
No, it's in your space, basically.
I start checking myself to make sure I'm not injured and just in shock.
So you feel that there is a hole, like a rip in the back. It's not very big, but it's definitely there. And it hurts a lot, and you can feel just a little bit of blood on your arm.
Part of me wants to ask Robbie to take a look, but Robbie is like catatonic right now. I think, again, Lenore's concern is less for herself, you know, so it's sort of a, well, that's weird. It must have happened when we were, you know, tussling in the bathroom, and probably just like shoves it to the back of her head.
All right. So let's jump back over to Evie. Evie, you've slid down onto the floor, and Sekhmet has launched themselves over the chair. Hathor is running towards you. Priestess Elizabeth is standing there, it kind of in shock, and she looks at you, and her face like gets very dark for a second, and you notice that her teeth elongate. She is suddenly flying across the room with supernatural speed towards you. What do you want to do?
I feel like Evany has minor combat training.
Okay.
From all the years on, like, stage.
Stage acting, stage combat. Right. Yeah. That makes sense.
So I think seeing this person, I guess, coming at her, I feel like as she gets to her feet and sees her like flitting towards, she tries to wait until the right moment to bend over to like kind of take Elizabeth's legs out from under her, hopefully like spilling her over her back.
Okay. So I'm going to guess that your acting skill is better than your brawling.
You know, one moment. Yes, it is better by 7 points.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll let you use acting, because this is stage acting, to try to do that move.
I don't know what's going on with me today. I never roll this good. I am usually trash.
Is there any wood for you to knock on? Because...
hangers, like, yeah. Whoa. It's going to catch up to me soon, and I know it's going to be a real bad moment.
Yeah, it really is.
It's a 32 under 57.
Okay. So you sweep down, you hit their legs out from underneath them, correct? Is that what you were going for?
Yeah, like a barreling over the top kind of thing. Like she barrels over the top of me.
And her face slams into the chair that you were just sitting on. Hathor is coming by you. She jumps over the chair towards Sekhmet. And Sekhmet turns around, and this is all happening pretty instantaneously. Sekhmet lets out this yowl and then tries to disappear. Now, I'm going to give you the roll to see whether or not Hathor can actually lay hands on Sekhmet.
Oh, God, no. But this might be the moment.
This might be the moment.
No, please, Wes.
I do what I can. I'm going to give this a 50-50 chance.
Okay.
You want to get 50 or under.
Evany screams at Elizabeth, "What are you doing? Take hold of yourself, Elizabeth. We're all on the same team."
What'd you get?
I got a 43.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I gotta get to a casino.
So you scream out what you screamed out, and Hathor is putting her arm out, and she touches Sekhmet, and the two of them start to merge together. There is this brief moment where you hear Elizabeth say, "Oh no," and there is a divine explosion of energy, and you are going to have to wait until we come back to you. Let's jump back over to the others. Yeah, so you're dealing with Robbie. Penelope comes back in, hands you some wrapping to help, you know, wrap up some gauze and whatever, and you wrap up their wrist.
I think probably at that point is when Robbie will start kind of like becoming more of a person again.
Okay, sounds good. So how did the two of you interact?
Well, I didn't mean it would see us later.
I don't know. It can't be good.
You know, you know about those things, weird things, scary things. What is it? Do you know what it is?
I don't know. I've never seen anything like it. I'd have to look in the books we have here probably to maybe figure it out.
What do we do about it?
We got to figure out what it is first, but right now we got to regroup and get ourselves together. Which reminds me, Penelope?
Yeah, yes?
Can you take a... I can't really see it. I think I fell in the bathroom or something happened. I think I'm bleeding and I can't...
Oh, okay. At this point, Belle, have you come out of the bathroom?
Yeah, because, you know, I'm sitting on the bathroom floor realizing I'm by myself now.
With an open mirror that just had a monster. An open mirror in it.
Yeah. So I keep my eye on the mirror as I exit the bathroom just to make sure. But I go down and I join everyone else. And, you know, while I'm seeing everyone get patched up, I say, I'd feel a lot more comfortable with a gun right now.
So you notice, Robbie, that Easter has jumped up onto the counter of the kitchen, which you have been told that they're not allowed to do. And Easter is staring at both Penelope and at Cass. Penelope goes behind and looks at your arm, and you can hear her audibly gasp.
Is it bad?
God, I'm so sorry.
Whoa, why?
I don't know how this happened. I'm so sorry.
What? I'm sorry. Between the mirror and you and everything else,
I think I scratched you. It's not very big, but it's enough. Oh God, I'm so sorry.
I know that, but I fell in the bathroom. It has to be that.
Oh, it's not. I can tell. And she tears back the blouse sleeve a little bit. And Belle, as you're just now kind of walking in all this, you and Imani see that there is a small, probably half an inch cut down the back of her arm. It doesn't look very deep, but it is there. And the sides of it are black and slowly starting to spread a little bit, like an infection of some sort. All right, let's jump back over to Candace. There's this huge explosion of energy. The last thing you remember is the sound of metal and wood and brick all exploding outwards. Windows break at least a mile or two away from your home, and the electromagnetic pulse turns out all electricity within a huge area. People are stunned. The houses next to your house have massive damage to them. It's an absolutely huge explosion. And you have always been pretty well off, so you're not very far from Brentwood. Those of you who are in Brentwood, in Penelope's house, as you are having this realization that Cass has been scratched, suddenly the whole house shakes and all the lights go off. It feels like there's this large earthquake that kind of hits the entire city. Candace, you wake up and around you are ruins of a house. Your house is completely destroyed. Buttercup is on your chest, licking your face, trying desperately to get you to wake up.
Oh, no, 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 no. Buttercup, we're destitute. No, oh, God. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, God. No. Oh, take hold of yourself, Evan. Oh, you've been in worse situations. Oh, God. Okay. All right. At least we have each other. Oh, God.
And I think she smacks herself a few times in the face to try to, like, calm down.
Is anyone there? Anyone? Please. Butler. Please. Jenkins. Anyone?
So you look around. The houses next to your house are also destroyed. The next house is destroyed on both sides and across the street. And then the house after that is semi-destroyed. Like half the building is like blown up on the sides. And then the next house has the windows burst out and all of that. So it's definitely this effect of it coming out from this ground zero moment. And you're looking around and you see your butler on the wreckage of the next house, and he's not moving. He looks pretty bad. You have no idea how you survived. The only thing you can think is divine intervention. You start hearing plaster and mortar move around behind you. And you look back and you see Elizabeth coming up out of the ashes of your house. And she turns to you and goes, "You fucking bitch. I am going to kill you." And she starts coming after you again. All right, let's jump over to the others real quick. So.
I refuse.
You all suddenly feel this earthquake happen. It's very strong and it makes you click into California mode, which means you automatically go underneath the frame of a door or underneath a big piece of furniture because you're like, what the fuck, right?
Thanks for explaining that to me for us non-California people.
Yeah.
If you are in California and you do go through an earthquake, get under a big table or get outside. Don't go in the doorframe. That doesn't actually work.
Yeah, true. I forgot
about
that.
But in the 50s, they would have thought it would work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, this is a structurally sound part of a building.
Yeah, yeah. Which was taught all the way up through like just a few years ago. Yeah. It's, yeah. All right, Cass, how do you feel? What's going through your mind right now?
Earthquake. I'm not sure really where Cass's mind would go. I think it would be sort of racing through, like, I think that she's more in shock than anything else. Like, no, kind of just can't process, you know, when your brain just shuts down on you and you're like, la, 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 everything is fine here. Yeah, I think she's just having a moment and is like, almost going to go a little catatonic.
Okay, that's completely understandable. For the rest of you, what are we thinking? What are we doing? Belle, what is Belle doing?
Belle is like, you mean you scratched her when you were...
Yeah, werewolf. She's infected.
Oh.
So she's going to turn into one of you.
The next full moon, yeah.
Oh.
And she's infected with the disease.
Like, can we do something about it? Like
from the counter and just Robbie's gonna go get the soap from the counter and just start pouring it.
That's so much nicer than what I was thinking. Because I'm thinking I'm thinking it's a zombie bite. So I'm like, if we just like cut it off at the source, you know, we could stop the spread of the infection.
Please don't take my arm.
I was thinking you were thinking an Old Yeller moment.
Oh, God.
Oh,
Jesus Christ. Horrible. That's even worse.
Take Cass out back, Shalene.
Look at the flowers. Look at the flowers.
Cass went to live in a farm upstate.
Let me tell you about the rabbits, Cass.
Oh, when it comes to this game, there might be a lot of those moments.
I say, is there anything we can do? A tourniquet, anything that'll shove silver into it, into the wound? I don't know.
Robbie's drizzling soap onto it. Like, has Cass's arm backward and is just like a washerwoman in the 1600s.
I just imagine you like treating Cass's arm like the all-you-can-eat pancakes at IHOP, and it's just drizzling syrup across the top of it.
And just kind of in a weirdly desperate way, just like kind of crying a little bit because this is like the thing that's breaking. I don't think Robbie's handling any of this well, but I think this addition of like this singular person who Robbie's like, this is a safe person being hurt, I think is very much just like kind of crying and like scrubbing it because that's all they know how to do.
Absolutely. So, all right, Mac, above game.
Yeah.
Would you agree that being infected by a werewolf might cause you to just automatically take some resolve, or do you want to roll for it?
My resolve is already like so fucked up at this point.
All right, let's roll for it then. I need a roll for you to see if you lose any resolve.
Oh my God. Okay. Hold on. Let me calculate what I have. I have a bunch of minuses. Jesus. I have like 23 resolve.
Yiggity yikes!
Yeah. No, I've been through it in this game, and I only had 50 to begin with.
Friend.
I rolled an 8. I'm doing surprisingly well.
Wow. All you feel is your arm being tugged at and soap being...
Yeah, and I think that Cass kind of comes back to it a little bit. And it's just like, Robbie.
Wait, if it's infected, we have to clean it out. That's how we have to clean it out. If there's an infection, you clean out the infection and then everything's fine because
it's,
you and...
Robbie, it's not like that.
Are you going to die?
No, she's not going to die, but she's going to have to live a very different life.
That was the agreement. Like, yeah, it's going to be real different.
Mother, please don't die.
Penelope, you and I are going to have a very long conversation.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I didn't think I had actually nicked any of you, and it only takes so little to spread it. Sorry.
Put them nails up, both hands in the sky. No more scratches from you.
No more scratches from me. I promise. I'm so sorry.
I'm so serious. Please put your hands in the air. I want to know where they are at all times.
She goes, I can't walk around like this all the time. And as long as I'm in human form, I can't spread it.
What about werewolf gloves? I know that sounds silly. It came out of my mouth.
Sorry. Can they please be the fancy
ones that go up to the, like, up above the elbow and have little pearls on the side, please?
It's just these long, I'm just imagining, like, these night, like, these, like, the fancy, like, long evening gown gloves with, like, little nails attached to them that are painted red.
Yes, that we are on the same page. That's what I need.
I'd like to thank everybody for listening to the show today. It was great. I appreciate it. We'll be back with you next week.
Oh, my God.
Listen, Wes, you said you wanted it to get weird. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry. It sounded less stupid in my head when I said it, and it was like,
Love,
oh, no.
Don't ever not apologize for that.
I think it was the right amount of stupid for the moment.
If by stupid you mean amazing.
Oh, my God.
No, I don't have any werewolf gloves. I don't even know what that means.
I meant we could make you some, like some workman's gloves, and then we just put them over your hands when you turn. And
that's the thing.
You did it on purpose last time.
I did, and I'm sorry. It was the wrong thing to do.
So if you do it on purpose, you can purposefully put on gloves.
She gets this look on her face of just anguish as she's looking into Robbie's face of anguish and turns around and just runs out of the room, and you hear the front door slam.
Now I feel bad.
No, I think it's just difficult when you are trying to come to grips with something and it unintentionally happens to a friend. That can be a lot for everyone. Maybe we just need to give her a little bit of time. Are you all right, Cass?
I don't know.
Do you feel any different?
I feel like me. I don't know. I, prior to a few hours ago, didn't even know that this was a real thing. So what do I do with it? I'm going to make myself a drink.
That sounds like a good idea. Maybe we could all use one.
Not Robbie, though.
I think, Robbie, we'll get you, like, a nice decadent cup of hot chocolate.
And I think Lenore goes and pours everybody, except Robbie, a whiskey. And hands one to Imani. Sort of hesitates handing one to Belle, but just kind of takes a deep breath, sort of sighs, and hands Belle a whiskey. Here, you probably need this, too.
Thank you. I could make a comment about this being a little hair of the dog, but
I guess I won't.
I think you technically just did.
Too soon, Belle Bellington. Too soon.
Remember, she's still a bitch.
All right. Well, I think that this is a great place to stop this episode. So
I love that we didn't even say anything about the earthquake. We were all just like, yes, earthquake. Now we get back.
Now we get back to this. Yeah, this like thing just happened.
That's called living in California.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Californians.
Was it over a 7? Then we don't care. The Californians, exactly.
I'm still new enough to California that I'm still like, ah.
Sometimes I'll wake up and it's like, was that an earthquake?
No, it was a truck passing.
It's a truck passing. All right. I think this is a great place to stop because that was a really great episode, scene. And I want to leave Candace hanging a little bit longer for the next episode and everybody else.
What did I ever do to you?
Nothing. It's love. It's total love for all of the great things that we're doing. So let's find out where all of these wonderful people are. And since I am being a bit cruel to Candace, let's start with Candace.
Hello. I have been badly used this episode. My name is Candace Magnificent. You can find me at the Candace Marie on Twitter and Blue Sky, at Candace Magnificent everywhere else. You can find me on Bloom and Blight wherever you catch your pods, as well as a mothership game called Beyond the Outer right here on 12 Sided Stories. So if you're interested in hearing what is sure to be a horrific tale of space shenanigans, please go ahead and subscribe to us on Ko-Fi. Coffee? You know the one.
Hey, y'all. I have been and will continue to be Mac Beauvais. You can find me everywhere online as at Strange Like That.
Hi, I have been Lev. My brain just reset for a second.
Blue screen.
I literally saw the pinwheel.
I could feel it like. Hi.
Well,
I'm
you're
Lev.
On Mayday Roleplay.
Yes, I am. I am on Mayday Roleplay, in fact. We've been playing Orpheus. We've been putting out episodes of Delta Green, which is why I keep getting the rules in this game confused. We'll be coming back with all kinds of crazy stuff. We have a Godzilla like three shot happening that Sergio ran. That's so good from everything I've heard, and I'm ready to cry about it. It's going to be great. And I'm here to fight Wes for justice for Candace. That's it.
Justice for Candace. Sam.
Hello, hello. I have been Sam. That's me. You can find me all across the internet at Lust for Life X. That's LustForLifeX. And if you follow me on socials, you can find out all the fun, nifty shit that I'm on in Justice for Candace.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and you can find me on the socials at Michulhu. That's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. You can also find my music and Wes's amazing sound effects if you subscribe to the Plate Mail Games catalog through BattleBards.
And I am Wes Otis. You can find me at Plate Mail Games on most of the socials. You can find the show at our website, which is 12 Sided Stories, all spelled out, all one word. It is also where you'll find our links. We are on all the social medias as well. 12 Sided Stories, a 12, and then Sided Stories for Instagram and X and Twitter, whatever it's being called now, or what, you know, who cares? Follow us all around. If you want to help us out, if you want to help out the show, join us over on Patreon or give us a shout out or give us a review. Any of those things are very helpful and we appreciate them. Thank you so much to the cast for playing, and we will see you next time on more Otherworld Hollywood. Bye.
Bye.